Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyau from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is Stephanie Dominguez-Walton, my best friend. We talk about everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that's happening now. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent and woman-run. I offer a show every Tuesday just for patrons called What's Up, where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever's on my mind. I also offer an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Look at the different tiers and support the show today. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. Welcome back to the show, Stephanie.
I'm always so happy to be here, honestly.
I'm so glad you are, because as I said to you, okay, so everybody, before we started the show, I told her I'm just having a hard time. And I'm not even going to talk about it with her until after the show, because I'm going to start crying. So it's fine. Everything's fine. I'm just having a hard time. I'm stressed out. So anyway, we're going to talk about all the things that are making us laugh and stressing us out. And we have no notes because we don't need them.
Well, that's I think that goes without saying, right?
Well, sometimes so on rare occasion, I make notes. But with you, I mean, do I even need them ever?
It's so funny. I was talking to one of my besties. Like, I've got these routines in the morning where I, like, if I go to the gym, I talk to one of my best friends since junior year in high school on my way home. It's what we do. She's walking her dog. We catch up. So she called and I said, oh, I got to get prepared for this podcast with Kimberly. And I'm like, what am I saying?
What do we have to prepare for?
I don't have to prepare for anything. I'm already psycho. And so that I'll just bring that energy to this party, right? And P.S., what's not to be psycho over in this world that we live in?
You know,
like, if we're not psycho, we're not paying attention.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I've just had some personal things going on. And then, you know, but there's always that low key hum of stress from what's happening. Although, you know, I mean, there's so many signs that we're going to get through this. Obviously, it's all uncomfortable and horrible and damaged, and we have to undo damage, and people are hurt. And, you know, I always have to say that because I don't want to pretend like I'm a Pollyanna about this, but I do feel like, you know, I know they've got terrible plans, and I know that, you know, the oligarchs, the fascists, all of them, they're going to fight till the bloody end, right? They're never going to give up, but they are up against a people who are waking up and who are pissed, and Trump supporters are pissed off. I saw Barbara McQuaid said that Democrats should run on something like he didn't do what he said he was going to do, because that's what like right-leaning independents are saying. And right-leaning independents, we need them, right? Like, I don't give a shit about the MAGA crowd, but I do, because we don't usually have them anyway. Even if Trump were to pass away, or even if they turned on Trump, they're still going to be loyal to their fascist party. So, but the independents are strong, and there is a crack. It's like cracking all over the place. I saw somebody on Facebook, and I understand this. I understand the sentiment, but I had to say something. But somebody said, oh, he always wins, because it was about the fucking TARP thing and, you know, covering his name. And I think stupid fucking, what is his name? Seth. I can't think of his name right now. I'll come up with it in a minute.
Seth? What am I missing?
What is his name? Oh, you know, I'm going to look for him right now. But he's somebody, Seth Abramson. He's got a huge following on Twitter. He's got a huge following on Blue Sky. And, you know, okay, he's not a stupid guy. He's a smart guy. He's got massive followers. But he said the other day that Trump won with this whole thing with the Kennedy senator, because the tarp was covering the fact that his name was taken off. It's like, oh, come on, stop with your rage bait, click. And this woman, I think she's like, Trump wins and everything. It's like, no, he did not win. They kept the tarp up probably because they just have to fill in some holes and fix the cosmetic damage that his name caused. It's not like the tarp's going to stay up forever. That's the stupidest fucking thing I ever heard. Anyway, I see people still occasionally with this whole, oh my God, he always wins. No, he fucking doesn't. He's constantly being ruled
he loses constantly.
Constantly. I mean, he does get away with shit. We're not going to pretend he doesn't. But it's to say that he wins all the time. No, he doesn't. He's fucking losing everything. And on top of it, okay, you know me. I got to go there. His fucking hand. Did you see his hand at that UFC event?
Not just one hand, both hands.
Both hands. And the cake makeup was so incredibly thick. And then the other day, there was a fucking slice on it that was like shaped like a little U. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that too, zeroed in on. I don't remember if it was, you know, sometimes I like to look at pictures of my kids when they were little to get a little serotonin burst before I go to bed. Yeah. And sometimes I like to watch epistemic crises videos and look at scabs and gashes on the president's hand before I go to sleep. Okay, and that's what I did last night. So yeah, I've seen that thing.
Somebody on Blue Sky made that little slash on his hand a smiley face. Oh my God, it's like, I can't help it because it's so awful, right? So like, in fact, when I was at the grocery store yesterday, because I have my grocery store diaries, there's this young Iranian woman. She's so sweet. I just love her to pieces. And I don't know how old she is, but she's young, like 20, 21. And every time I see her, I'm like, Trump's going to die. And we just start laughing. And then we have our conversation. So the first thing, like she was ringing somebody else up and I had my phone all ready. And as soon as it was my turn to, you know, start the process, I just shove my phone in her face and it's a picture of his hand caked with makeup. And she just started laughing. And it's like, it gets to the point now where I know there's serious shit going on, but, and I'm glad that there are really smart, credible people talking about it. But I just need to focus on the fact that he's dying or else I'm going to go fucking nuts.
Right. Have you noticed how no one hesitates to say those words anymore?
I know. It's all over the place. I remember, I know I'm monopolizing and I swear to God, I'll let you
know. No, I love it.
But during his first term, I don't remember who it was, but I said something about his demise. And I meant political demise, but I just said demise. And oh my God, this guy on Twitter, I don't know who it was like, he was supposed to be an ally too, but he said something to me like, that sounds like a threat. And I think he tagged somebody and it was like, I got freaked out and I deleted it. And everything. It's like, I just meant political demise. I wasn't calling for the man's death, but like you said, we weren't allowed to say Nazi before. Nobody was ever allowed to, you know, fantasize about the president dying publicly. And now that's all you ever see.
Yeah, well, I have a shirt that
everywhere.
Says it, so. I've had it for over a year.
I missed what you said. What did you
well,
say?
Okay. I said, well, I have a shirt that says it.
Oh.
So, and I think, did Joan Baez wear a shirt that said, is he dead yet? Or was that
know,
like
maybe.
AI? Anyway, I saw this. And I have a bunch of girlfriends that I've known since middle school, and there are seven of us, and we get together. We try to get together once a year to just eat food, play board games, and, you know, take ridiculous pictures of each other, which sometimes involve our clothes coming off, you know, that kind of stuff. We're still 14, but we're 60.
Right.
And I got everybody one of those t-shirts that said that, is he dead yet? And I got a couple extras for some of my sassy girlfriends that live up at the state capitol. They're in their 30s and they wear it when they go to the farmer's market.
Wow.
I know, ballsy. I look at mine in my drawer and go, I just can't run into somebody that's like a new client, you know, on the street wearing that. We might have that conversation, but to put it out there, that takes some damn guts. You
it
know
totally
what I'm saying?
Does. Yeah, it does. I mean, I would be not very comfortable walking around with that just because you never know who you're going to meet. And people today are on a hair trigger. You know what I mean? Like I don't even want to flip anybody off in the car, which is something that I've done a lot in my lifetime. I don't want to do it because it's like, what if they have a gun? I mean, it doesn't mean they're MAGA, but what if they have a gun? People are just fucking nuts right now. Bob has always pointed out that after COVID, people have changed. Like they're more volatile and hostile on airplanes. They're more volatile and hostile on the road. I don't know. I can't tell on the road because out here in the DC area, traffic is fucking ridiculous. And my dad, I say this all the time, but my dad always used to tell me that. And I lived in California. I'm like, oh, whatever. You don't even know anything because I live in California and I drive all around. It's like, no, he's right. This was the worst traffic I've experienced in my entire life outside of like, you know, Europe with their crazy taxis. Have you ever been in a taxi in Italy?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, they're so harrowing.
Yes, they are, and I live for it.
It's
I
so
li I
harrowing.
love it. Well, you know, I got the Italian blood, as my father would say. Italian, Noel, where
Italian.
there's a Y in place of the
Right,
L.
Italian.
And you know, his side is Mexican, but he said Mexican. So
Right.
no X, a T and an S in its place. Yeah, I love that. You know, I love being in with my people and that energy. Like Naples, Italy, I feel at home
Really?
because A,
I
yes,
haven't
it's
been
just like,
there.
oh my God, it's incredible. It's kind of gritty. It's a port city. It reminds me a
Yeah.
little bit of Oakland.
Hmm.
It's just, it's fun. It's great. Great food. Great. Anyway,
Hey,
the
wait.
culture.
Let me
Yes.
go back to this. Did you go to Rome?
Yes, I've been to Rome.
Do you like the food in Rome?
Yeah, sure. I like the food in Rome.
Because I did not. I mean, some of it, sure, but my
Some of it, I
experience
mean,
with it was not great. And plus, I was a major tourist.
right. So I thought, okay, the food in Florence, if you're a meat eater,
Florence is good.
Florence is on another level, but their
Yes.
bread sucks. So their
Really?
bread tastes like air, like the bread
Huh.
that they bring you to, yeah. But then you go to Naples or Venice, like somewhere where there's water nearby.
I don't know. The Venice didn't
And
work for me either, but go ahead.
okay, well, the Naples food, there's a lot of beautiful seafood. I thought I enjoyed eating in Naples the most. Like we had some really traditional, beautiful meals there that weren't seafood, that were, you know, all types of food. And so then we went to this place. Everybody's heard of the Capri, right? Or what's, you know, the air. I don't know words anymore, by the way. So let me just, I'm just going to do my best. Capri is really expensive.
Yeah.
And a lot of non-Italian tourists like to go to Capri to get that beach vacation. And we didn't want to spend the money to go to Capri. Obviously, it would have shortened our trip. We would have just blown our wad there. And so instead, we went to the island of Ischia, which is where you see a lot of Italian tourists doing their summer vacation in Ischia. It's a lot less expensive. And we ate some of, we found this little like beach club that was open to the public that was run by a husband and wife who argued audibly in their kitchen while you were ordering the
Oh my
homemade
God, that's
pastas.
hilarious.
So they're in the kitchen cooking. You can hear them kind of bickering loudly with each other. And then they come and serve you the food. And I had the best homemade lasagna that I've ever eaten in my entire life at this little beach
Wow.
cafe. And so there were seven of us traveling. It was my family and it was my brother and his wife and daughter. And people were like, "Ooh, can I have a bite?" And I was like, "Absolutely not. You may not have a bite. If you would like to have this, you must order it yourself." It was that good.
Wow.
It was I so you
Wow.
know that but that was our experience.
Yeah.
And you know, we did it on it was after my mom died, so we
Yeah.
kind of, you know, we went for 18 days to Italy, and this was her dream to take all of us back to the homeland.
Right.
And so we did it, you know, kind of in honor of her, and did went and stayed at a hotel that she and my father found in Rome in 1988 that they took me and my
Wow.
brother to.
Oh my God, that's so
And
cool.
so we went back, you know, that kind of, it was that kind of a
Yeah.
trip. And it was 105 degrees.
Yeah.
And the only time we ever really fought with each other was at the Vatican because the air conditioning was out. And we were all
You
just
fought at
like,
the Vatican.
yeah, we were like, you know, F you, I'll see you on the street. My sister and I went and bought a, my sister-in-law and I went and bought a pack of cigs and, you know, took a couple of puffs out in 105 degree weather and
Oh
said,
my
fuck these
God.
guys. Yeah. But then, you know, then we shook it off and it was all fine.
That's hilarious. Oh my God, I can't believe you smoked. Did you used to smoke?
It wasn't good. It
I
sounded
bet
really
it.
good
Yeah,
in
I
the
bet it
moment.
tasted
And
disgusting.
we both, it was disgusting. And we both took like a couple of drags and then just like got rid of it.
I can't even imagine. Like, I was watching something recently where people were smoking, and I just imagined it, and it was like, ugh. Because, of course, I was a smoker. I mean, you know, I stopped in, I was 45 in 2013, and I had a really easy time with it. I had tried quitting so many other times without it being easy at all. Clearly, I kept smoking. And then I just decided at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm done. And I was done. And it's funny because the next time I was around anybody who had a cigarette was about a year later. And I just
Sickened
was
you.
disgusted. It was like, get away from me. It was so gross. It smells so awful. I mean, it smelled awful when I did it, but you get used to it. You know,
Yeah.
you build up that tolerance to it. But
Well, and
I've always
then
thought
you
it's
have an addiction to
disgusting.
the nicotine. Yeah, it is
Exactly.
disgusting. And I loved cigarettes when I was drinking. Loved, loved,
Oh yeah,
loved,
there was
loved, loved
definite
them.
times when I loved it, and then other times when I didn't. But you know, I always say it's like I had a jury duty, and I raised my hand and I said, "What if you?" Because they said, "I said, can you take smoke breaks?" And this is like L.A., right? So you have to go all the way downstairs and leave the building to take a smoke break. So they're like, "Yeah, sure." And I said, "Well, what happens if they call your name?" And he's like, "Well, you know, if you don't answer, they're just going to put it back in the pile and we'll get you next time." And I'm like, "Oh."
Well,
So
then
I
I have
kept
to
taking,
have a cigarette right now.
yeah, I know, like, I need to go smoke. So I was taking all these cigarette breaks, but then there was this one part where I was in the bathroom. I was in the stall and they called my number and I just stayed in the stall. I didn't come out for like 20 minutes. And then I just
That's
moseyed,
ballsy,
yeah, I
dude.
moseyed on back in and played dumb. And then I never got called.
Oh my God, I
Ooh,
am
I'm admitting
such.
probably something that's against the law or something.
No, there's no way. They can't do
I
anything to you now.
know this was like in
Although
2000 or
Kimberly
something.
Johnson, LA County in the year 2000s, you know. I am too much of a rule follower, which sounds funny because I'm
I
such.
know. You're so rebellious. I'm a bit of a rule breaker. No, I'm not really a rule breaker. I follow most rules except jury duty rules.
Right. I've accidentally not called in for jury duty and then I freaked
Oh my
out.
God, wow.
Yeah. And all they do is they just hit you the next year, by the
Oh,
way.
really? Oh, interesting. Okay, good to know. Wow. Yeah, that's just
And then I
it.
have a friend who is a tattooer. It's what he does for his life. He's, you know, he's lived an alternative sort of. His mentality is very like we're born in the same year. He's one of us. He's our age, you know. He's
Yeah.
like, I was a punk rocker. I was an artist. I didn't really ever fit into the, you know, the system, right? It just wasn't. And so he goes, I'm not gonna name him, obviously. He goes, I just don't respond. He pays his taxes. He does the rest of his shit. He's a
Wow.
you know, he's a good
I
member of
just don't
society.
respond.
I just don't respond.
That's hilarious. Well, I just remember it was so funny because I think it was that same year that I did that, but I think, okay, let me remember. It would have been 2004. And so my grandmother had passed away in 2003 in September, and I had asked her, here's a funny little story about my grandma. So actually, prior to her dying, I knew this woman. Her name was Lynn, and she was a psychic. And so I had a reading with her, and I didn't really ask her any questions. She was just telling me things that she saw. And so she told me, because I didn't ask her this, but she told me how both my grandmothers were going to die and when. And she was absolutely correct. And I didn't mind her telling me that at the time because I knew my grandparents, you know, it's like I knew they would die eventually. Nobody was sick at the time. And she got it right. But she told me with my paternal grandmother that she was going to visit me as a bird. So I just took a mental note of that and went on with my life. So I don't remember what year it was that she told. Maybe it was like 2002. And so then my grammy had passed away in 2003. And prior to her passing away, I asked her if she would contact me. And, you know, after she did, I said, if you can, will you contact me? And she said, yes. I actually asked both of my grandmothers, but I felt like I only got the response that I could recognize from my paternal Grammy. So anyway, she dies in September. And then I'm waiting. I'm waiting for her. And nothing's happening and nothing's happening. And so I was laying in bed, I think it was like December. And my cat used to sleep in a blanket right by my head by the pillow. So my cat was there and she was asleep. And I was just laying there and I was thinking. And I was talking to my grandmother and I'm like, Grammy, just let me know that you're there. Do something. Knock something off my dresser. Just do something. And I was really concentrating and, you know, nothing happened. But all of a sudden, my cat like shoots up and stares at the door. You know, and I don't really think anything about it. I don't, because I don't even know what that is. I think she just hears something with her cat ears that I don't. So I go to bed and then I have a dream that my grandmother, she appears to me in the dream, although it's like her face is right in front of me, but it's a little blurry and she's talking to me, but it's kind of like that Peanuts voice where you just don't know what she's saying. So that was it. That was the dream. And I wake up from it. And ultimately I had decided that that somehow, I don't know, my cat must have sensed something. I don't know. I just thought that was weird. But then in the dream, I figured what she was doing was she's like, I'm here, but I'm in a realm where you just can't really understand or see me. That's how I took it.
Mm-hmm.
So after that happened, okay, that was in December. So in January, I had to go to jury duty and I was praying all day to my grandmother. And I'm like, please, Grammy, please get me out of this. Please don't let me come back. And so, you know, I just wanted to get excused
Grammy,
that day.
Grammy, use your powers from beyond.
Yeah, come on, Grammy. Help me with my jury duty. So I'm praying all day and then I don't get called. So they let me go. And I said to myself, I'm free as a bird. That's what I like thought. So I go and I get in my car and Freebird is on. And I was like, oh, Grammy. I'm like, Grammy. So then after that, all this shit with birds started happening. And then like the biggest thing, and I know nobody's going to believe me, but I don't care because this happened. It used to be that the doves would land. I had a wall unit air conditioner. And so the doves would always land on the wall unit. And it was like a fun thing for me and my cat. And they had stopped. And they hadn't come back for so fucking long. And then all of a sudden one day, there's this dove. I see it and it lands on my air conditioner. And I look at it and I walk over to it and it doesn't leave. And I just go, are you my Grammy? And I said, if you're my Grammy, come walking right up to the window. And I swear on my life, on everybody's life that I love, the bird looked me in the eye and walked right up to the window. And I was like,
stop ooh. It.
And then, you know, and then there was a couple other things that happened with birds. And then that was it. So I just thought, huh, that's so interesting. And then the other day I was in the grocery store and Freebird was playing. And I was, and when, you know, I know that there's all this racist shit having to do with Lynyrd Skynyrd. But when I hear that song, I think of my grandmother. And if you listen to the words, oh my God, the fucking words of that song. It just kills me. It's like my grandmother was talking to me. So anyway, there's my Grammy bird story.
And if I leave you tomorrow.
Oh my God. It's like that song always makes me tear up. Would you still remember me?
Listen, what I want to say is, yes, you know, if Lynyrd Skynyrd were alive today, you know, and that Southern man don't need him around anyhow, right. Whatever. Like, they probably would be MAGA. I don't know.
I've heard somebody come in defense of them, and I didn't take the time to look it up. But, I mean, obviously they had all those Confederate flags and everything.
They had, that's the thing. They had the Confederate flags, and that was part of their culture. And it's like, right. Yeah, you know what? You need to open your eyes and realize what that actually stands for and the message that you're putting out there.
Exactly.
And maybe that's a conversation that could be had or could have been had. But we, you know, we live in a racist country that was mm-hmm. built by, you know, white men who mm-hmm. came, who stole human beings from Africa.
Yeah, and enslaved them.
And enslaved them. And, you know, I want to, okay, sorry. Here we go. God damn it. Here I go. I'm sorry.
No, go.
But my point,
go.
What I was going to say before that is what makes us, what's the common thread between us and even the people that fly the Confederate flags? Is there something in there that we can agree upon? Like,
oh, I think so.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, when are we going to start trying to figure out what that is?
Right.
Okay. And when are we going to all acknowledge that Black people in this country don't have a song or a dance or a place they can say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and trace my roots back to Ghana, let's say. Mm-hmm. That's where my answer. I know I can go to Mexico. I can go to Oklahoma. I can go to fucking Lucca in Italy. I know that. Mm-hmm. Our people, the Black people that we walk, that we call Americans, they don't have that.
Yeah.
And that's what they have had to live their entire lives and will continue to live their entire lives, knowing because they were taken mm-hmm. from whatever that homeland is. Where do their ancestors come from? You know, I know a woman who said she turned 80 and she goes, she's a Black woman. She goes, I want to go put my feet in the water on the shores of some African country and just try to feel grounded and try to find that ancestral land. She doesn't even know if it's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the country that we live in. And that is still okay. Mm-hmm. with the majority of Americans that walk this earth. And let's not ever fucking forget that.
Yeah,
that's
no,
that's my message today.
Yeah, and it's so profound and accurate and upsetting and all of it, because it's true. I mean, I try so hard in this.
Sorry, folks, to take a turn.
There's no sorry.
From Freebird. You started it.
I know I started it. It's on my fault. But the thing is, though, I think, you know, here's my suffer up take on this, as opposed to suffering down and getting it worse. Because, you know, everything depends on us, right? We have to make the decisions that and take the actions that are going to shape this country. We always have. Our decisions up until now, some of them have been great and some of them have been awful. And so I think that, you know, it's been getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I know we can tag this back to, I mean, you can go all the way back to the beginning of the John Birch Society. You can go back beyond that. But, you know, at least in our experience, this all this shit started with Reagan. And again, I'm not saying that it started with Reagan, but
keep going, baby. I'm with you.
And our lives, it started with him. And so, you know, while they have the, and I'm calling them they, meaning the fascists, the far right, whatever, they've taken over our press. You know, they're so loud. They are intimidating. They are violent. And it's just gotten to the point where we have Donald Trump. And actually, you know, I mean, I'm so existential and I think about things beyond just the physical, what we can see. Right. And I don't know. I don't claim to know anything. I just ponder and wonder. But I can also look at things in history, not necessarily political, just anything in history, and see how our actions and our thoughts led to this thing. So it's my hope that this current president, who is, I mean, we didn't get a smart fascist. Right? Mm-mm. That's our big fucking, that's how we lucked out, is that we got a stupid, disgusting piece of shit pedophile fascist who doesn't know and he's got dementia and he's dying and he's got this like group of fucking greedy, just, can't even come up with a word on how disgusting they are. All of them are. And they,
bootlickers.
Yeah. And they all tried because like it was a slow, it was this slow kind of coup since Reagan, but then when Trump got in, it sped up. And I think the reason, and I might be, it might have been hubris, it might have been the fact that they think we've got to do this before America wakes up to it, but they didn't do the Trump part slow because Trump is a fucking train wreck and he has no idea how to be reserved or measured or anything. So everything has just kind of exploded and Americans are waking up and it's tariffs, it's ICE, it's all of it. And they're getting pissed off and he's not keeping his promises and it's Iran and it's all of it. And so it's my, I don't like the word hope because hope implies that we're going to fail, but we do have a choice here and we have an opportunity because now this country that you're talking about that was founded on fucking enslaved black people, we have an opportunity to change that because he's burning everything down. And so for all of us that, look at me, I'm a white woman, a nice looking white woman who was privileged. And I didn't know, like when I had Frangela on my show, and I can't remember which one, I never can remember, had said, she was on a job interview, and the man interviewing her asked if she had a father. Like, was her father
What?
still? Because she's black.
Well, of course.
And it's like, oh my God. And I mean, as a white woman, I never was
Welcome,
asked that
welcome to,
question.
yeah, of course not.
And it's like, I never would have even thought about that. It never would have even occurred to me that someone would have asked a person of color that question. So it's like, yeah, I had this privileged experience as a white person. And it's not to say that my life was super easy, not to say that it was super hard because it wasn't, but it wasn't super easy. It's not like my mom, my single mother raising me from the 70s wasn't fucking wealthy. We didn't have lots of money. There was one fucking month where all I ate was potatoes. So I'm, that was just one month, but still, that's what we ate. That's what she had money to buy, potatoes. So it's not like, even though I had a privileged life, it's not like I had this like entitled life or anything like that. But, we all go, oh, I wish it were the 90s. I wish it, but yeah, what about black people in the 90s? What about people of color in the 90s? What about people who were just being ignored? Women who have these fantastic ideas and then men steal them. That's it. That's what happens. And then men rape women or young men rape women. And the judge goes, oh, but, no jail time for him
But we don't
because
want to
his
ruin
poor
his
life. Yeah. What about
yeah,
his
he's a
life?
swimmer at Stanford. How's that,
Yeah.
what's he going to do when he graduates and when he gets out of jail?
Right. Yeah. What kind of life
Meanwhile,
is he going to have? Let's not ruin his
right.
life.
Let's not do that.
So, I mean, this place that we've been living in, that we, America was never fucking great. There was greatness in America without a doubt. But this country needs to be, so this whole existential point is maybe there is a reason this is all happening because of our collective desires, our collective actions, like points of view lead to your identity as a human, not just identity, I go to work and I live in this house. Your identity is who you are in this world and what the world means to you. If all of our collective identities wanted to fucking change. And of course it's not all because there's people in MAGA, but there's, look, we had Occupy Democrat or not Occupy Wall Street. We've had all these petitions to get rid of Citizens United. Petitions are fucking useless. But the desire has been there and there has not been any action. So what happened? Everything fell apart. And that gives us an opportunity to rebuild it back. And I hate to use Biden's thing, but yes, build it back better. Build it back into a matriarchy, which does not mean all female. It just means people who are going to lead, who are going to take care. Because as I said, the Affordable Care Act is a matriarchal piece of legislation. Social Security is a matriarchal piece of said legislation. It doesn't matter if it's brought by a man or a woman. It's that feminine energy of love. And so we have that opportunity now. And as much as I want to believe that that's possible, it's a frightening thought because so many people in this country are just so angry and divided. But it is our opportunity. And a lot of us are waking up. And I do feel positive about the midterms. And I do feel positive about moving forward. But it's like we're relying on people. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. I do have hope. I do have hope. And I do think, I don't like to say hope. I do think we're gonna beat the fuck out of them in this election. And I know they're gonna try to stop, not stop the election, but they're gonna fucking cheat, right? They're gonna do everything they can,
They're going to do their
legally or
damnedest.
illegally. They're gonna do, but it's harder.
They're already doing it. Their
Yes.
redistricting is because they know they
Right.
can't win on the merits because they're pigs
Right.
and they're racists and they're grifters and they're criminals. And people are
Okay.
tired of it.
Let me.
You know what's cracking me up though? And it's not cracking me up. It actually pisses me off. When you see these former, these triple Trumpers who are talking to some interviewer on a podcast or whatever, and they're like, yeah, I can't afford my groceries. Now I'm mad.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Well, maybe that's the common thread, right? It's like, right. Bitch, really? Now you're mad because you can't fill up your fucking car? Try being somebody who has lived on the margins for your existence.
But if they haven't, they're not going to know it. They're just not going to know it. And you know
so,
what?
You know what? I guess we have to get them there any way we can, but.
Yeah. And the thing is that, I mean, we've done it before to a degree, right? But what was I just going to say? I can't remember now, but it was about MAGA. Since I can't remember, I do want to, and I'll probably remember in a second, but I do want to ask you, I have not mentioned this on my podcast. Bob asked me about it on the after party. I'll ask you, and then I'll give you my opinion. But I want to know what your thoughts are on Graham Plattner.
Yeah, I haven't given much thought to Graham Plattner. I do know he had some Nazi shit in his past, mm-hmm. but I feel like, there are skinheads who reform. I don't know enough about Graham Plattner. If he's a Nazi now, big problems. Does he have like some sort of sexual abuse thing, or was that all
what it was? Okay. He got a tattoo, and I don't know what the name of the tattoo is. There's a name for it. I can't remember. I saw what Charlotte Clymer wrote a piece on him that I really respected. And it was basically saying that, because Charlotte's been in the military, right? So she knows, mm-hmm. she knows her shit. And she was saying, he says he claims he got drunk. Plus he served 4 tours in Iraq. So I have some things to say about that. That he got drunk and then he got this tattoo. And Charlotte said, is it possible that he got drunk and he got this tattoo and he didn't know what it meant? She said possibly, but people in the military knew what that sign meant. Mm-hmm. But she still was like saying, okay, well, he got drunk. I can understand that. It's a little stretch, but I can understand it. But then she also just basically went on to say, because nobody ever accused him of rape or anything like that. It was abusive kind of behavior, but it wasn't like touching and raping. Just things that he said. And he said derogatory things about women. And then I know that he's made some of his ex-girlfriends feel unsafe. And then there were reports that one of them is a Republican and they don't necessarily trust what she said. I'm not going to go there. I'm automatically going to not believe, but take every woman seriously. I don't care if they have an R after their name. If they say something, I'm going to take them seriously. I'm not automatically going to believe anybody. I don't care mm-hmm. who you are. And I don't mean that we shouldn't believe women. I think we should take all women seriously. But when you have a political accusation, you have to be very careful. So mm-hmm. especially when it's coming from the right, because we all fucking know they are so fucking dirty tricks. And, you know, one of the things about him, and this is not an excuse, so please do not fucking at me on this, because mm-hmm. I'm not giving him an excuse. I'm just, if I were a psychologist who had absolutely no emotional, you know, take on this whatsoever, going through 4 tours of Iraq is going to fuck you up, right? It's going to give you some kind of PTSD. And I know people who have gone to war and they come back and for a period of time, they are, it can go on for the rest of your life, but yeah, they might say and do things that are inappropriate and wrong. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person per se. It's just that you're going through PTSD. And mm-hmm. so I'm not making excuses for him because I don't even know, right? I mean, I know a little bit, but I don't know a lot. I've read some of the accounts that the women have said, and I did not like him. I did not want him to be the nominee. I did not want it. However, he is. And so he's claiming, you know, I don't believe, like there are people out there saying he's going to be another Fetterman. I wish they would stop saying that because we don't know that's true. If it's true, then Maine will vote him out in 6 years. But don't
maybe.
Start. Hopefully. Don't start projecting. Well, it would be Democrats, right? If he's a Nazi, if he's Fetterman, they're going to get rid of him. But I mean, then unfortunately, probably a Republican would win. But the whole point here is, you know, you can't decide he's a Nazi or he's a Fetterman until you give him a shot. And right now, we know what we get with Susan Collins. She defends pedophiles. She defends rapists. She defends somebody who is convicted of 34 felonies. She defends the Republican Party, which is a party full of fascists and rapists and racists. We know what we're getting with her. With him, we have to take that chance. And I would, you know, if I lived in Maine, I would vote for him. I did not want him to be the candidate. I think it was just horrible. Now, one of the things that he said was, this is what happens when regular people, you know, run for office. And to a degree, he has a point. I can't run for office. I'm not going to run for office ever because, and I haven't even done anything that bad. There's no sexual abuse in my past history, but all the shit that would come out about me, especially because I'm a woman, you know, getting stoned in high school and shit, that would all come out. And everybody would act like it's a big fucking deal, and it isn't. But because, like, who didn't get stoned in high school? But still, the whole thing is, it's like, you know, I don't like this guy right now. I know he's got a great message. He's very charismatic. So he's got that, you know, I mean, Donald Trump is also charismatic with his people. But so as far as Graham Plattner is concerned, I do not want to hear, like, when people, I don't want anyone coming to my Facebook page. I don't want to fucking see calling him Fetterman, calling him a Nazi. And it's not because I like him, but he's our, you know, right now, he's our only shot to get rid of her. She's been there for fucking six. She said she was going to leave after one term.
She's full been there of for shit. Six. When has she ever told the goddamn truth?
Exactly. She's, yeah. So we know what we're getting with her.
I'm not shitting on Plattner. I don't know enough about him other than the stupid three basic things I said at the start.
Yeah.
you know, I've been focused on, California.
Yeah.
I've been focused on, I had a girlfriend that ran for Congress. And of course, you know, once again, people showing their bullshit colors, like, hey, let's vote for the try. Let's vote for the, I didn't want to go there. It's just, let's not vote for the black woman who's given her entire life, who brings a fresh perspective, who speaks for the people. Let's not do that.
It's really upsetting. That's why.
Let's not do that.
The hope for the future.
Let's not find actually people among us who have life experience doing the work to make our communities better.
Right.
Who are willing to make the sacrifice to serve rather than just be elected so they can call themselves fucking relevant in a political sphere. Yeah. I'm sick of that.
Yeah, me too.
I went to a political event last night with my dear friend, Heather, who runs the Voter Protection Project, which I've talked about before. You know, it's a national PAC that plays in Senate and congressional races across the country and focuses on Democratic voting rights champions who also happen to believe in all the other good stuff, right? And so we were there and it was big. It's an annual event. It's a climate focused event. So it's climate champions who are either elected in the United States House of Representatives or running to flip seats. Right.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And, you know, but we talked on the way home and we passed the big lottery sign that shows how much is in the Powerball and how much is in Mega Millions. And I think Powerball is at like 280. I did the math real quick. I think it was 286 million. And I said, okay. So she goes, what would you do if you won the Powerball? I said, so I cash out at, you know, 143, 150.
Yeah.
Cause,
and
or,
then
or
you have
whatever
to take taxes out of that too.
No. That's the taxes. That you take half.
No. If the lottery is at like 200 and some million and you cash out, then you only get a portion of that and then they tax that.
Okay, fine, whatever. So let's call it $100 million I'm left with at the end of the party.
Right.
And I said the first thing, you know, we were fantasizing and I'm like, well, I get new windows in my house. I put a new roof on. I get some solar. I reshingle it. And I'm like, because I don't want to move. I just want to live here. I love my community. I want to be here. I want to make it great. I want to die here. And I want to be able to hand my kids something because really at the end of the day, that's all they're going to get from me and hopefully I live to pay off my mortgage.
Well, otherwise, if you get $100 million, you'd have a little more than that to give.
Right. But I'm talking about like my regular life.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, we got another kid that's starting college in the fall. So like this house ain't getting painted and I hope the roof holds up. Let's just put it that way. But so it's like those stupid little things. We get that out of the way. I totally hook my brother and his family up and obviously put some money away for my kids so that they could, you know, have a life. And then I'm focusing on what organizations do I want to get behind?
Yes.
Where I can really see things. Like I would give $12 million to Elaine Brown, the former head of the Black Panther Party, who is also has a foundation or a 501c3 called Oakland
and the world. And her entire focus is on reducing recidivism and seeing that formerly incarcerated people, who, let's face it, are mostly Black men, have a shot at owning businesses cooperatively and changing the trajectory of their lives, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, if that happens, then all sorts of great things start mm-hmm. happening in Oakland, right? And the world start happening in Oakland and the world. I would fund that. I would pay for that. And we'd have a freaking community grocery store, a community garden at the apartment building that she built, which is at, you know, it's way reduced rent for folks who have been in that situation, for immigrant families who mm-hmm. are living in the community. 79 units she built.
Wow.
Beautiful. Okay. This woman does not play at her tender age of 83 years. Hmm. Okay. This is what I want to align with, because what I want to see is this fucking broken, disgusting system change. Yes. So maybe, and what I said to Heather was, with all that money, you better believe people are going to want to talk to my ass. Right. And so I would just make sure there's some plugged in microphone somewhere so I could start saying things like, hey, politicians.
Yeah.
Where's our universal health care?
Yeah.
Hey, politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the policies? And believe me, I'm not talking particularly to my politicians, because my politicians right. kick ass. But where are the housing policies
yeah.
that actually make living and working in the neighborhoods an actual thing
yeah.
for the people who aren't gazillionaires,
mm-hmm.
for the people who aren't tech bros, for the people who didn't luck into it, you know, because it was actually somewhat affordable for a dual income family to buy into my neighborhood. That doesn't happen now.
Yeah.
I want to live amongst the folks who are making this whole thing go round.
Right.
That includes the teachers, the union laborers, the baristas, the restaurant workers. That's the community. That's the world I want to live in. I don't just want to see people yeah. with money having, you know, this whole thing. So here comes my microphone moment. And I don't know who wants to listen to me, but if I got money, they do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So
money
so
talks,
I'd
right?
Be loud. So I'm going to buy a lotto ticket today, because that'll just...
because you,
gotta,
you never you gotta, know.
You, yeah. And then I'm going to be like, oh, yes, you want to talk to Steffi D? Here she is. and oh, by the way, she's got a couple things that she wants to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. I always think about like what... because if I were to win the big money, frankly... I wouldn't want to have a big life, right? You know, I mean, I would still want to yeah. have like a quiet, nice, comfortable
yes,
life and everything. But yeah, so I would take the majority. I would keep, my family would be okay and all that shit. But then I would just take a big, big hunk, and I would try to, I wouldn't get rid of it all at once, because what I'd want to do is like set up ongoing payments, like do a trust,
of course,
you know, and then you have,
on,
and part of that would be like, oh my God, have you seen on Netflix? I'm totally changing the subject and I don't remember. I think it's called A Gorilla Story. It might be called that. I can't think of the man's name. It's a man's name, and you know it. He is a gorilla guy. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's on Netflix.
No, but
oh my
need
God,
to
I highly recommend
it. I'm obsessed
it.
With gorillas.
Oh my
baby
God, it's
gorillas
so good.
In it?
Say that again.
Is it the cute guy with tattoos that holds the
no,
baby gorilla to his chest
man.
On Instagram? Damn it. Okay.
It's an older man whose name you would know, but I just, Attenborough. David Attenborough? Is that it?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, David
yes.
Attenborough, but I had coffee in
it's
my
him.
Mouth at that exact
yes,
time, and
him.
I almost spit it. Yeah.
Oh my God, and there's this fucking scene, and I mean, probably people have seen it, but he was out with the gorillas, he was younger, and he's like, all of a sudden, like they noticed him or whatever it was. And this one little baby gorilla, because he like laid down, this little baby gorilla got on top of him and was just like hanging out on him. And oh my God, what an amazing experience that must have been.
I think they're tender creatures.
They are, but they could also be quite violent. And, you know, I will say this for anybody who's interested in this documentary, with the exception of one scene about poachers, and they did, unfortunately, you had to see it. It was the Diane Fossey. Is it Fossey? Is that her name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Story that, you know, they remembered that. So it is old news, but you still see that. But the rest of the documentary is all just about the gorillas. And, you know, there's some hard to take shit in there with what they do to each other, because, you know, there's that one dominant male gorilla, and they have to kind of fight for their position. So they do have violence, and there is some sadness to it, but it's nature. It's not humans hurting them. It's what already happens in nature, and there's not fucking anything you can do about it. And you don't see gorillas ripping each other apart and killing each other. So you don't see that, but you do see fighting. So I will say it's for somebody who can't take a lot of nature because of the fighting, I could take this. So, and it was so fucking good. Also, I just have to throw this in there. Did you see Remarkably Bright Creatures with Sally Field?
No.
Oh, it's really good. And it's very sweet. And just FYI, it's on Netflix. And it's about a octopus. It's not just an octopus, but she is a, she plays a woman who's taking care of an aquarium in this small town. And she's got her own little story. And the lead male in it is, what's his name? Lewis Pullman. And Bob's like, I wonder if that's Bill Pullman's son. And it is.
It is. Look how much they look alike.
Yeah. And so anyway, it's just a very sweet and poignant movie, which I highly recommend. It's entertaining. And Alfred Molina plays the voice of the octopus. So it's really good.
Nice.
And it's called Remarkably Bright Creatures. Yeah. And so I would definitely put funding into animal stuff and then, you know, civil rights stuff. And then I'd call you and go, what do I need? Tell me where I need to put my money. Cause you're in the know.
I try. Well,
you are more than me.
Well, I ain't got no money no more.
Well, you know, I mean, I do try. I give to save a fox. That's my, like, I.
That's your pet project.
Yeah. And I know Michaela's death was just about, I think it might have been a year ago. I think it was on the 20th. I'm not sure. But, and that was just so fucking devastating. And I know, I will say this though. I mean, I have, talking about grief. So she was married to Ethan and she, you know, took her own life. And it was a combination of bullying online and the fact that she had all kinds of mental issues. And so anyway, he found her and it was so devastating. And they, not only did she leave him with this entire, Save a Fox Corporation, they have a daughter and he's been struggling, you know, he'll post and he'll talk about, I'm not happy. I'm just never happy. I can't do it. But recently he made a post and he said, life still sucks, but... And he talked about this car because he's all into cars and he likes to rebuild cars and stuff like that. So he did show some excitement and joy for this experience, this car experience. Because something happened, you know, he got a car that he wasn't expecting. Anyway, that gives me hope because it's like, you know, obviously he's going to grieve her for the rest of his life.
But oh God, yes.
Hopefully he's going to get past that. Because like after, it's like my mom was saying, after a year, it's not that it gets easier, but you're finished with all the firsts now. It's not like the first time this happened, the first time this happened, the first Christmas, the first birthday.
That's a good point.
And so, it's just, I try to give to them as much as I possibly can because I don't even know. I mean, I hope he can keep it open and all of that stuff. He's been doing it for a year, but she was the one driving all of the money. So I don't know. It's like it's like when she died, I thought, oh my God, I want to win the lottery just so I could give him a bunch of money and then do whatever you want with it. Sell it, keep it, whatever, but just everything's taken care of. But yeah, that would be good. That would be a good thing. But you know, we're just gonna have to do it without our millions.
Yeah.
We still have a lot to do.
And
we
keep
still
working.
Can do a lot. Yeah.
We can and we do. And you know, money doesn't do everything. Unfortunately, we live in such a grotesque.
I know.
You know, that's what gets people's attention, which is gross.
Right.
So I would, you know, I would take that money and I would try to do good things with it. I would obviously take care of my family and maybe have some really cute clothes.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Well, you got to have the cute clothes and you got to have the nice home. I just want a nice home.
No, I just want to, like I just said, I just want a new roof and a paint job, really. And some new windows that I can actually open that aren't hanging by ropes. We got kids. I mean, like I can live off of two open windows in my bedroom. I don't need them all open right now. I got priorities. Okay.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you know, when I want to live in a world where we have justice over charity, you know, some of these nonprofits, they exist because the world ain't right.
Yeah.
Right. We don't have justice.
Yep. Yeah. Cause there's always going to be some shitty fucking human who's just not listening to the bigger part of themselves. I mean, we've all done it, right? We've all not listened went to ourselves when we knew we should be doing better. But it's like, I look at Donald Trump and I just think, did he even hear that voice in him? Because it's there, but it's like probably buried so deep. He's not even aware of it. You know, there is that part of us in us that tells you, no, you shouldn't do this.
I don't think he has any voice that speaks to him.
Except for the evil ego voice. That's it. Yeah, I think
exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Like I look at it, there's like the soul part of us voice that knows better when you know better. And mm-hmm. then there's the ego voice that's going, do it, do it, do it. And he just hears that. he just hears the do it voice.
The voice that the angel and the devil on
exactly.
Tom
it's only
Hulse's
the devil
shoulders and
yeah,
animal
the only,
house.
The, it's the, just the, like, and, yeah. Yeah. The angel on Trump's shoulder fucking died, and he only has the devil. I mean, it's like that's all he's got. Now he's demented. Like, let's end the show on. Let's keep going over how fucked up he is. And also, I just want to say, there's this woman. She is kind of like a adjacent to the epistemic crisis doctor. And I listened to her. She's a voice speech therapist.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Today she was doing, and she's like, did he have another stroke? And she was saying, she's like, look, I am not able to diagnose a stroke. I'm not a doctor. I'm a speech therapist. However, I can look at things like every other fucking person in the world and make some deductions. And so her latest video was talking about, oh God, I wish I would have kept it and I don't. I think it's called dysthermia or something like that. But basically what it was is it's what's happening to his mouth when he's talking. And so the epistemic crisis doctor the other day, I don't know if I think you saw it because I think I saw that you liked it, but I'm not sure. But he was talking about how when Trump was talking, it sounded like he had to go, like he's like, I would have coughed 30 times just listening to Trump talking because you could hear it in his throat. And then his mouth, you know, like the excess, he doesn't have that involuntary swallow reflex. And so she was talking about not only epistemic crisis doctor yesterday talked about how he shook Macron's hand. And how, you know, he likes to do that really struggle handshake to show how powerful he is. And the way he shook Macron's hand, it was like almost limp. Like his arm, it looked like Macron was kind of helping him hold it up. And there was a couple other things, but basically both of them were alluding. And she was straight up saying, it looks like he had another stroke. And so I was thinking about this and I thought, you know he's got all these drugs and everything that a lot of Americans may not have access to, but I think that the drugs that are helping him perform are making him worse in the bigger picture. It's just like my mom's cat had all these fucking issues when like his whole life and they kept giving him prednisone. So the prednisone kept him alive until it ultimately killed him. If he did not have the prednisone, he would have died a lot sooner. So it kept him alive longer, but eventually it's what killed him. And I feel like, you know, and that doctor said the number one death, and I don't remember the name of it, but the number one death for frontotemporal dementia basically has to do, was it aspirating on food? Is that the right way to say it? Stephanie's thing cut out, and I'm going to try to edit this out. So if it seems awkward, this is why. But the epistemic crisis doctor said that the number one cause of death for frontotemporal dementia is like aspiration on food particles.
Right, right.
So that's what we're looking at. And it's getting worse for him. And she's saying she thinks he had another stroke, which, yeah, of course. I swear to God, I would be surprised if he's alive at the end of this year. You're just like, I don't know.
Oh, okay. I had the conversation with someone last night who shall remain unnamed.
Okay.
I don't think he makes it through the summer.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with the end of the year just to be on the safe side. And I'm not really good with predictions. So I thought.
Doctor with 14 years in my expertise in my field and a doctorate in physical therapy, taking care of doing in-home healthcare for elders with,
I know the thing by heart, and I
know again, you've done it on this show before.
I have. Oh shoot, I'm such a dork. God, my jokes. I'm turning into that person that tells the same joke over.
Oh my God, I've done that.
I can't
whole
even
life.
Tell. Yeah. Okay. And I blew it. Like I blew it. I got some filthy jokes, which I will not tell on this show because we will lose people for sure. But I'll tell you when we turn the machine off here, okay. And it will sicken you. It's good though. It stops people in their tracks. It's a three-parter.
Oh my
okay,
God. Okay.
So listen, I will say I first was talking about before the primary in California, I was talking to some friends and they were like, he's a cockroach. It's just, it's never going to happen. I go, no. He doesn't make it to the general election in November. He is spiraling. The man is not well. And I don't want to root for somebody's death. One of my very dear friends says, I don't want to talk about it. I go, listen, he's not well. We can talk about the facts. He doesn't look well. He can't stay awake. He has dementia for sure. His ankles look like elephant legs. He's got the boo-boos on his hands.
He wanders all the time. He can't walk.
He wandered
line.
Yesterday. All the G7 guys were like, hey, this way, other side, other side. The leader of India had to help him up one step yesterday. He's not the man.
No, he's not.
Doing well, if this were Biden, he'd have stepped down by now. We have President Harris.
Right.
That's a fact, Jack. Mm-hmm. But the Republicans, I mean, before we end, can I add one other thing, please?
Of course.
I hate Joe Rogan, and I'm so sick of people giving these white fucking MAGA leaning podcasters there because they have such a huge audience and because they're white men, let's just say what it is, a second chance. No, motherfucker, you are a bootlicker. Mm-hmm. You patted that piece of shit who said that horrific thing about Michelle Obama. You patted him on the back and smirked while it was happening. Go fuck yourself, you disgusting bootlicking grifter. No.
Yeah.
No. This is the most corrupt regime.
Yes.
Of, you know, and Pete Hegseth, like I want to stand next to Pete Hegseth in a gym and put him to shame. I am a 60-year-old woman and he had 12-pound dumbbells in his arms that his rubber alcohol infested body could not lift. These people are posers in every possible way. They're posers as people who know how to run a government. Mm-hmm. They're posers as real men.
Yeah.
You know, they have ruined and taken the problem is they have the power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have the power and the broken system is just going to continue to roll on as long as there is in power, and poor people are going to continue to die because they don't have health care.
Mm-hmm. And we got to change that shit.
Yes. Okay. So let's give me the microphone and the lottery. And cause I will have nothing to lose because you know what I'm saying? Put a big mouth bitch with a bank account full of
millions.
You
need a shirt that says big mouth bitch.
Right.
I want a shirt that says that.
I'm a big mouth bitch.
I'm a big
remember when Chrissy Teigen got in trouble for calling, who'd she call a pussy ass bitch?
I can't remember.
Somebody in government. It was great. Like, why can't we just, that's real.
Right. I know.
That's real. Okay. We gotta win. But then we gotta start holding these elected officials accountable and say we need universal health care. We're not having any other conversation.
Right. And that's like the elections aren't the end of the story, people. We need to fucking stay on our people. We need to stay on our representatives. It's not like I get so angry, especially with these fucking eye-rolling progressives who act like you can never even look at a centrist. And it's like, well, I'm not a centrist, but I realize there are certain states that are going to need centrists in order to win. But the whole point here is if you want to have, okay, if you don't want, if Graham Plattner wins and you don't want him to become a fucking John Fetterman, stay on his fucking ass, Maine, right? You got to stay on his ass and let him know. Because if you just sit quietly, then he's going to do whatever he wants. He needs to hear from you. You're paying him. You know, we're all paying our representatives. Our tax dollars are paying them. And even though Grant Plattner does have something to do with me, it's not my election to vote for him, but the way he votes will affect me.
100%.
And everybody
and
around
he can
this
affect
nation.
The change that everybody says they want.
Yes.
I'm tired of, you know, Democrats just sort of giving up. Well, we won the midterms. Now
exactly.
It's back to business as
no,
usual.
We
my
have
life
to
is
fucking,
fine.
Yes. No. We have to stay on them. And because our politicians, especially with Citizens United and PACs in play, of course they're going to take them. If you were a fucking Democrat, more than likely you would too. You would have to take PAC money, even though you fucking hate it. You know, not everybody does. Some people are starting to say, no, I'm not going to do it. But most of them do.
Yeah,
most of
really,
them do.
No.
And
come
most
on.
Of them need that fucking money in order to try
that's
and win.
That's how you win elections, period.
Exactly. So it's like we can all sit there in judgment for people taking PAC money. But that's how it's working right now. And it's not going to change unless we, the people, fucking stand up to make that change. It's not
we
up to them.
We the people in order to form a more perfect union. Remember that from
yes.
Schoolhouse Rock?
Yes. Schoolhouse Rock was the bomb.
Yeah.
Too bad we don't have stuff like that now, but it's impossible because young people don't even. Oh, my God. I'm going to end it with this. I was talking to 2 20-year-olds and they didn't know who Demi Moore is. I don't even know what to say about that. You know, and I know why. I figured it out because a lot, you know, there was a girl in my grocery store who didn't know who Charlie Sheen was. And I thought, how is this even possible? It's because of the internet and how people's attentions are spread out now. Before, all we had was a TV. And, you know, I knew everybody from my when I was fucking 9, I knew people from my grandparents' generation. I knew the famous
because
people.
We were watching Canon with our Grammys.
Yeah, we were all watching the UHF and we were watching the black and
Maddox.
White and the old movies. And I was watching, you know, shows like, Laurel and Hardy. And, you know, just the one with
Little Rascals.
Yeah. And I mean, then I would watch the shows with my grandmother, the Fred Astaire and the Ginger Rogers dancing.
And
I knew
the
who they were.
Temple movies.
Yes. And it's like, but young people these days don't have this. And it's not to blame them. It's not their fault. There's just not a one media place where everyone goes anymore. So they don't know. Who I knew my fucking Demi Moore is my generation, and a 20-year-old doesn't know it. When I was fucking 9, I knew who Ginger Rogers was.
Right.
So, and that's just because of the way the world is now.
That you're exactly right. Because we didn't have a lot of choice. It's like, what's on channel 44 on the UHF dial? Well, I guess I'll watch that, you know?
Yep.
And
totally.
It's different, but you know, we do it in a different way. Like I don't know why my dad was really big into movies. And so going to the movie theater and that was a thing for us as kids.
Too. Yeah.
And so we did that with our kids and now, hey, lo and behold, both of my kids are filmmakers and this is the world
there
that
you
they want.
Go.
But we watch movies and shows together as a family and it's a thing and that's, you know, the closeness, you know, you try to bond in certain ways with you, your family members, whatever, you know, whether you have kids or not. But let me tell you what, I might be a 60-year-old and you know I know who Raymond Burr is. I don't even need to say the show. Okay. Because you and I grew up in that era and we hung out with our grandparents and that was just the way it is. And I also know though who Connor Story and Hudson Williams are. And let me tell you what, those 25-year-olds who did Heated Rivalry, like I can play in that, in that arena as well.
That's our superpower. But we know everything.
Because we're Gen X and we will fight you. And we will fight you. And we might even win. We might lose our balance a little bit because we're in our 60s. But I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And then, and Gen X is raising Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know. It's crazy.
And my kids are Gen Zers. And then there's Gen Alpha. That's the even younger one. And I saw something on Instagram that said, here's Gen Alpha. And it was an adult playing a Gen Alpha person. And they're like, Gen Alpha is just mean. But I don't even know what age group that is, but it was really funny. God love Instagram. You know, you can watch a horse give birth.
I know.
And you can watch somebody pop a zit. You can watch the epistemic crisis. You can watch somebody.
Did you see the video of the robot doing the Michael Jackson dancing and falling?
No,
Oh,
but
I've got
I
to
kind
send
of
that to
love
you.
it.
That is one of the most hysterical things I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to send that to you. So just keep your eye out for it. It's so fucking funny. Oh my God, it's funny. But all right, I guess we should
Okay,
wrap this
I
up
took it. I
now.
took it long. Sorry.
No, you didn't. Don't be sorry. Don't ever be
So, what
sorry.
do we want to do, people? What's our little parting words? If I could I have a parting
Donald
word?
Trump is dying.
Okay, that's good. Oops, that's probably happening.
That's
He's
always
not
my
well.
final word. What's yours?
He's not well. My final word is, if we could just go forward and know that we vote, we do what we can, whether it's volunteer, whether it's give money to the organizations or politicians or whatever that mean something to us, that we, and then we hold people accountable and we
Yes.
never stop asking for what we as a people deserve. Housing
Demanding,
is a human right.
demanding.
Healthcare is a human right. Bodily autonomy, voting
Yes.
is a right. Like these are the things, and these are the basics that we need to continue to say to the people who we elect that we pay with our taxpayer dollars and say, hey, look, it's really important that my mom, even though she was diagnosed with cancer and has a little bit of money in the bank and has healthcare, that she shouldn't go broke while she's dying.
Right.
That families shouldn't have to worry about leaving their house because they're brown and they're worried they're going to get snatched off the streets by
Yeah.
ICE. Because this is happening in all of our communities, and we know that's true. That every kid should be able to have a full belly while they're on a public school campus
Yes.
so that they can learn just like the rest, right? That sports programs in an after school situation shouldn't just be reserved for kids whose parents have the money to pay the fees. We're living in a society where every child has an opportunity to exert their power so that they have a future in some way, shape, or form. Like all of
Yes.
these things, these are just basic things. And so when we talk to people who may have had a Confederate flag hanging in the back of their pickup with a gun rack at one point, there's something in them that we agree upon.
Right.
Okay. Kids should deserve an opportunity to realize their power and to prosper. Okay. Let's just
100%.
start there.
Yes.
And
Yes.
so I want to try. Yeah, I'm a fighter and I'm a psycho and all this shit, but I know that these are the baseline things that make our society better. And so yeah, I'll wager that Trump isn't going to make it through the summer, whatever. He's fucked our world up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, what's the common thread how do we fix it? You're pissed, MAGA, triple Trumper, that you can't afford eggs, put gas in your car. Okay, how do we fix it? What's that? How we fix it is by electing people who believe in X, Y, and Z. And that's going to make it all better. But it's going to be a lot of work. We may not realize it in our lifetime, but I'm down to get in the dirt to make sure that it happens. Did that make any sense?
Yes, it 100%, and I agree. You're always correct, and your fighting, passionate spirit is what everybody loves.
Yeah,
It really
okay.
is.
See how I dragged you into another 15 minutes of a show when you were trying to say goodbye to me when my AirPods went out? Okay. All right, I love you and you're amazing and you do your part every day you flip this microphone on, baby.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
telling you
It's
what's
much
up.
smaller than it has ever been, but that's okay. That's okay. My show is a smaller version of what it used to be, but I'm still doing it and I still care and I'm still here.
That's right.
All
That's
right, well
eight.
then go, let's just do this again. Do you even remember what your Instagram is? Isn't it Steph
Steph
DW?
Dominguez Walton.
There you go, Steph Dominguez Walton, and then your Steph DW. Is that what you
On
are on Blue
Blue
Sky?
Sky?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, follow her and thanks again for being on the show. And we'll
Yes,
talk
babe.
soon.
Of course. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
History is messy. It's weird, wild, and anything but boring. Rainy Day Rabbit Holes is a history podcast about unhinged stories that make you stop and ask, wait, is this real life?
From crazy disasters and tasty scandals to enlightening and surprising heartwarming tales, we explore the moments where people behave badly and sometimes beautifully.
We've got naughty politicians, cultural chaos, and a deep love for the Pacific Northwest, including Bigfoot.
It's thoughtful, irreverent, occasionally serious, and always entertaining.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
MSW Media.